नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग द सिक्स्थ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम एंड इन द फर्स्ट एपिसोड वी हैव डिस्कस्ड द स्टोरी ऑफ अजामिल based on the first three chapters of sixth canto, and in the next episode we have seen the story of Daksha and Narada Muni, how Narada Muni converted Daksha's 11,000 sons into renunciants. And in the previous episode, the third episode, we have seen how Indra has offended his own guru Brihaspati, and thus all the demigods lost their positions in the heavenly planets, because they were defeated by the demons. Because of their offense to Guru, they have lost all their opulence and positions. So Brahma instructed the demigods to take shelter of Vishwarupa, and all the demigods went to Vishwarupa, and Vishwarupa taught Indra Narayana Kavacha, and by employing this Narayana Kavacha, Indra has regained his heavenly position, and all the demigods were reinstated in their positions in the heavenly administration. So one day Indra has seen Vishwarupa offering oblations to the demons, and he became so insecure and angry, and he has beheaded this Vishwarupa. So because Indra killed Vishwarupa, Vishwarupa's father Tvashta became very angry with Indra, and he conducted a sacrifice to get a son who can kill Indra. But because of his wrong chanting of or mispronunciation of the mantras, instead of getting a son who can kill Indra, he got a son who can be killed by Indra. So that son's name is Vritrasur. So Vritrasur came out of the sacrificial fire of Tvashta, and he attacked the demigods along with his little army. And Vritrasur was so fearful to the demigods. The demigods went and took shelter of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu told them that you should go to Dadhichi Rishi and ask for his body and manufacture a thunderbolt out of his body, and the thunderbolt will be able to kill Vritrasur. That is the solution that Lord Vishnu had given to the demigods. We have discussed up to this point yesterday, and today we will see how the demigods would go to Dadichi and then beg for his body. So that begins the 10th chapter of this canto. So the 10th chapter of the canto begins with the conversation between the demigods and Dadichi. All the demigods, upon being advised by Lord Vishnu, went to Dadichi Rishi and asked him, "O Dadichi Muni, can you please give your body? We want your body so that we can manufacture a thunderbolt from your bones and use that thunderbolt to kill Vritrasur." And this has been instructed by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So Dadichi Muni, although he is ready to offer his body as per the will of the Lord, Dadichi Muni initially said that, "I cannot give my body." Just in a jovial manner, just to joke with the demigods and hear some good instructions and wisdom from the demigods, Dadichi initially rejected the proposal. He denied. He says that there is unbearable pain at the time of death, so it takes away the consciousness of all jivas. So how can we be giving our body to someone? So at any cost, one has to protect one's own body. So one can compromise on certain dharmic principles also sometimes when it comes to protecting one's own body. For example, if somebody speaks a lie, it's wrong. But if speaking a lie saves one's body, then one may be obliged to speak that. So Dadichi says that we can compromise on dharma a little bit, but we cannot compromise on protecting our body. At any cost, this body has to be protected. Dadichi says like this. Vishnu said, even if Vishnu says also, we have to protect this body. So Dadichi, when he said like that, the demigods replied saying that, oh, pious, kind and affectionate souls offer anything for the welfare of other living entities. So you are a very benevolent personality. You are a very charitable person. How can you deny this charity? So if the person who is approached for charity understands the pain of the requester, he would not hesitate to offer donation. And similarly, if a person who is requesting understands the pain of the donor, then he will not request something undue. But here, we, in our case, we are obliged by the instruction of Vishnu and we are so desperate, and our regaining of the heavenly planets actually depends on your giving of your body in charity to us. Can you please consider this? Then Dadiji said, demigods, so what is the use of this body if this is not meant to serve great souls like you? So one maintains this body just for the welfare of other living entities. So I have refused your request just to hear some dharmic principles from you. It's not that I don't have any intention to offer my body. So if Lord Vishnu asks, if the demigods are asking, why I would not give my body, I'm very happy to offer my body for your service. So one who cannot sacrifice one's impermanent body for others is pitied even by immovable beings. So the mind which laments for others' distress and rejoices at their joy is the real mind, and that is praised by pious men also. Means we need to take pleasure in others' pleasure, and when others are undergoing some distress, a noble person will also feel bad. So one should consider other people as one's own self and extend oneself for the welfare of others. So Dadhichi understands all this. One should not be thinking selfishly. One should selflessly sacrifice one's possessions and even one's own body and life for the welfare of other people. And now you are demigods coming and requesting me why I would not give my body. So I just offer my body for your service. So Dadhichi is such a selfless soul, an exalted devotee of the Lord. He sacrificed his own life also for the service of Krishna and all these devatas. So then Dadhichi, having said these words to the demigods, he went into trance. He closed his eyes, he began meditating on the Lord, and he went into deep trance. Now the demigods were taking his body and taking his bones to manufacture a thunderbolt through the help of Vishwakarma. So Dadhichi, because he was in deep trance, he could not even realize that he was getting separated from his body. He could not experience the pain of death. So the pain of death was not at all experienced by Dadhichi because he was absorbed in Krishna. So now also, when we focus on something with full concentration, although some things are happening around us, we may not be able to realize them or notice them because we are so absorbed in doing one thing. So when somebody goes into deep samadhi, deep trance and meditation on the Supreme Lord, one will transcend this bodily demands, and even bodily pains will not bother such a person because the mind is completely concentrated on the Supreme Lord. And Dadhichi did not even realize the pain of death. So at the time of death, when somebody's body is cut, when somebody is getting separated from this body, one will experience excruciating pain, but Dadhichi did not experience anything like that because of his absorption in Krishna. So Dadhichi did not even realize, and Dadhichi did not even feel bad that how can Supreme Lord Vishnu make a plan to kill me? So how can Vishnu do like this? He has given personally a plan to all the demigods that I have to die, because offering body and offering bones means Dadhichi has to die. So Dadhichi did not think in those lines. He was not disappointed. He understands. He has full faith on the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He is a devotee of the Lord and he is selfless. So he did not hesitate to offer his body. He did not even feel the pain of death. He did not feel the pain within his heart that Vishnu asked me to die. Because this body is ultimately material, and if not today, after some time we have to leave this body. naturally. So better, better to give up this body for the welfare of someone. So anyways, we have to give up this body. We have to leave this body. But if this body is being utilized by someone for a noble purpose, why not take that opportunity to offer this body and get the mercy of the Supreme Lord? So that's the nature of selfless souls. So selfless souls will undergo a lot of personal inconvenience to extend themselves and help others. Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasho janaha paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanah. Tapyante lokatapena, great souls, benevolent souls, they extend themselves almost always to mitigate the sufferings of common people. And that kind of selfless sacrifices done by devotees for others' welfare will make them the greatest worshippers of the Lord. Extending oneself for the service of humanity is the greatest form of worship of the Lord. Paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanaha. That's the nature of great souls. And the dhichi gave his body, and the demigods took his bones, and they made a thunderbolt out of it, and Indra took up the thunderbolt. And he sat on this Airavata, his elephant, and he went to fight with Vritrasur. And Indra was so glorious, Indra was looking so effulgent, and all the other demigods also accompanied Indra, and all of them came to attack Vritrasur. And Vritrasur had his few demons surrounding him. So there are thousands of demons, and demigods are also there, thousands in number. So they started fighting with each other. All the demons and demigods attacked each other, and the demigods, they started attacking the demons, and now that they have this rejuvenated power and new enthusiasm because they have this thunderbolt also with their master Indra, so the demigods were attacking the demons with great power. So the demigods quickly cut the weapons of all the demons when the demons were throwing the weapons, and the demons took up mountain peaks and trees and stones and showered on the demigods. And the demigods smashed them into small pieces. And all the demons who were accompanying Vritrasur, they became so afraid. So Vritrasur's soldiers became so afraid of the demigods, and they started running away from the battlefield. It's not good for a Kshatriya to leave the battlefield and show his back to the enemies. But these demons who were accompanying Vritrasur, they did not consider that first we have to protect our lives. So that has been their first priority. They were not acting like proper Kshatriyas. So they ran away from the battlefield. And although they were running away from battlefield, the demigods became quite shameless, and they started attacking these demons who were fleeing away. So Vritrasur became so surprised. So demigods are attacking the demons when they are running away, which is very heinous activity. And the demons started running away from the battlefield, leaving the battlefield in the middle of the war. That is also heinous. So Vritrasur turned towards the demons and said, "Why are you running away from the battle? So are you not ashamed? Are you not proper Kshatriyas? Are you not warriors?" So he said that death is unavoidable. In any situation, Providence has not given us any escape from death. If you run away from battle today, tomorrow, anyways, you have to die. So better to die on the battlefield only. Better to embrace a respectable death than such a heinous and shameless death. So who would not accept a glorious death of giving up one's body on the battle while fighting with the enemy without showing his back? So for there are two glorious deaths recommended in the Shastras. Number one, by performing perfect yoga, if we meditate on the Supreme Lord and give up our body in that meditation, spiritual, divine meditation, then that's considered glorious death. Second glorious death is to die on the battlefield while fighting with an enemy without showing back. So Vritrasur was instructing the demons, anyways, you will not take the first option. You will not be meditating on the Supreme Lord and giving up your bodies. Better take the second option. You have the battle ready. Better die in the hands of these demigods and then go to upper planets, higher planets at least. But the although Vritrasura was standing on the battlefield and instructing the demons, still the demons were not listening to Vritrasura. So Vritrasura was speaking about according to time, place and circumstances, and he was trying to inspire his own associates to fight, but they just ran away. And when they are running away, when the demons were running away, the demigods were running behind them to kill them. So it's not according to the rules of religious war. Mattam, pramattam, unmattam, shuptam, balam, striyam, jadam. People who are intoxicated, people who are very young, means children, women, people who are sleeping, people who are mad, people who do not have proper weapons to fight, people who do not have a chariot to fight. Such people are not supposed to be attacked. People who are so afraid, they were running away from battlefield. So it's not right on the part of a Kshatriya to kill a person who is running away in fear. But the demigods gave up these religious codes of war, and then they were running behind fleeing demons also to kill them. So that's considered very bad. And Vritrasura tried to inspire the demons to fight with the demigods, but the demons were not listening to him. Then Vritrasura turned to the demigods and he started instructing the demigods also. Are you not ashamed of attacking people who are running away in fear? Are you not ashamed of it? So the demons are like stool. It is inglorious to attack a fearful enemy from behind. So by attacking an enemy from behind, how can you be promoted to heavenly planets? So stand before me if you have any power to fight with me. So Vritrasura chastised the demigods and he roared like a lion. He made a tumultuous sound while roaring like a lion. The demigods, just by hearing the roar of Vritrasura, they just fainted, as if they were struck by thunderbolt. Thunderbolt was not released by Indra till now. But the demigods felt as if they were struck by thunderbolt, and they just closed their eyes in fear. And Vritrasura, like a mad elephant, trampled all the demigods. So just like a elephant tramples on, say, some bamboo trees, bamboo logs. So then bamboo will be crushed into just small pieces. So like that, Vritrasura was crushing the demigods. The bodies of the demigods were crushed under the feet of Vritrasura. And now Vritrasura came in front of Indra. Indra was majestically sitting on his Airavata with his thunderbolt weapon and many other weapons. So Indra took his club first. He did not throw his thunderbolt immediately. Indra took his club and then threw at Vritrasura. And Vritrasura caught that club with his left hand and just threw it as if it was nothing. So Vritrasura was so huge, like a mountain. He was almost touching the clouds, and Indra was quite small, sitting on Airavat. When Indra threw his powerful club that had the track record of killing so many demons, Vritrasura just caught that club and then made it so useless. You can see the picture there where Vritrasura's left hand was holding that club. The club was not even as big as his hand or finger also. That is such a small weapon in comparison to the glorious power of Vritrasura. So then Vritrasura made this club, Gada, useless, and then he struck Airavata with that same club. And Airavata's mouth broke, and then it started spitting blood, and it was pushed back 18 yards behind. And Indra was also like quite shaken up. So then when Vritrasura struck Airavat, and Airavat lost his composure, then Vritrasura did not again strike back on Indra. Because the enemy has to be given some gap or some time to recover and to compose himself and then get ready to fight. But Indra was not in a position to immediately fight, so Vritrasura gave some gap. He did not immediately attack Airavat or Indra. So then Vritrasura started chastising Indra. Vritrasura remembered all the sinful activities of Indra. Actually, Vritrasura killed a Brahmana, Vishwarupa, and Vishwarupa was the guru of Vritrasura. Vishwarupa acted as a priest of Vishwarupa was the guru of Indra. Vishwarupa was acting like a priest and a guru who taught Narayana Kavacha to Indra. But Indra, without any respect for a Brahmana and Guru, without any gratitude for what this Vishwarupa had done to him, Indra has killed him. And Vishwarupa was the son of Tvashta. And Tvashta did a sacrifice and got Vritrasura also as son. In from that sense, Vritrasura was the brother of Vishwarupa. So Vritrasura says that Indra, you have killed my brother unnecessarily. So I will be freed from the debt to my brother by killing you. You have done Brahmahatya. You have killed a Brahmana, a Guru unnecessarily. Out of your insecurity and pride and fear and anger. So only for living in heavenly planets, you have killed a self-realized, sinless, qualified Brahmana. And you have killed a priest, a Brahmana, a Guru, like a butcher, so mercilessly. And you are condemned even by Rakshasas also. After I kill you, even fire also will not touch you. And only vultures will eat your dead body. So if your followers attack me, I will kill them also. I will make a sacrifice in the name of Kala Bhairava with all the bodies or the heads of your associates, the demigods. So in this way, Vritrasur chastised Indra in various ways. And Vritrasur also said, if you kill me, O Indra, if you kill me, I offer my body to other jivas. And I desire to receive the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees like Narada Muni. So Vritrasur, although he was a demon, that too on the battlefield, he was exhibiting a lot of Vaishnava character and Vaishnava behavior, and his whole words and speech and devotion are so surprising to Indra also. So Vritrasura instructed Indra, Indra, you have thunderbolt in your hand, throw that thunderbolt on me. You will definitely become victorious. Because Indra was just sending his club. So Indra had just sent his club only. His gada, he was not releasing his thunderbolt. So Vritrasura inspired Indra to throw his thunderbolt. So throw the thunderbolt, and that thunderbolt will kill me, because the thunderbolt is equipped with the austerities of Dadhichi, and it is also blessed and empowered by Lord Vishnu's prowess. So Vishnu has empowered this thunderbolt. And Dadhichi's austerities and his whole purity is also there in this thunderbolt. It's a very important, very great weapon. With that weapon, you can easily kill me. But Indra was not releasing that weapon. Why? Indra thought that my gada is so powerful, and I have hurled my gada at this Vritrasura, and Vritrasura made it useless within a moment. If I throw my thunderbolt also, I may lose this weapon. So I may not have this weapon anymore. Vritrasura might render my thunderbolt Vajrayudha also useless with his power. So although Vishnu has said that this thunderbolt is powerful enough to kill Vritrasura, Indra could not keep faith on Vishnu's words. Indra could not believe that thunderbolt could kill Vritrasura. Indra was fearful of losing that weapon, not releasing that weapon to kill Vritrasura according to the instruction and advice given by Lord Vishnu. So then Vritrasura is personally inspiring Indra. So you please release the weapon. So Vritrasura had full faith on the thunderbolt. But Indra did not have that much faith on the thunderbolt. Basically, having faith on thunderbolt here is Vritrasura had full faith on the instructions of Lord Vishnu. But Indra could not keep that faith in this context. So definitely the demigods are faithful to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. But many of the demigods are not pure devotees. They have some mixed consciousness. They want to also enjoy this material world. Sometimes they may not exhibit very exalted consciousness. Now in this fight, although Indra was the king of demigods and Vritrasura was a demon, still, Vritrasura was more in devotional consciousness than Indra. Although Indra has killed Vritrasura in this fight towards the end, it's Vritrasura who became victorious, and it is Vritrasura who was glorified than Indra. Now, here he says that Vritrasura says that I will be freed from my bondage if you release the thunderbolt. I will be meditating on Sankarsana and I will attain the destination of Narada Muni. So we will discuss the past life of Vritrasur in the next episode. Vritrasur was a great devotee of Sankarsana and he was initiated by Narada Muni personally. He was a disciple of Narada Muni and he was a devotee of Lord Sankarsana. Thus Vritrasur is maintaining that devotional consciousness even in this demon body on the battlefield. So the Lord does not give opulences to the devotees. Now Indra will be releasing this thunderbolt and Vritrasur will be killed by that thunderbolt. And who will get heaven? Indra will get heaven. And Vritrasur will die. But Vritrasur's understanding is the Lord, the Supreme Lord, will not give the heavenly planets or heavenly enjoyment to the pure devotees. These heavens and other heavenly enjoyment are meant for people who are not pure in their consciousness. So Indra and other demigods have some inclination to enjoy even on a material plane. That's why the Lord will give such kind of benedictions to them. So while Vritrasur will be taken to the spiritual world, Indra will remain in this material world ruling the heaven. So who is having a better opportunity? So Vritrasur says this. So the Lord does not give material opulence and heavenly enjoyment to pure devotees. Even if you kill me with that thunderbolt, I will not feel bad that I will not get heaven. I will go to the spiritual world. Okay. The Lord gives such heavenly enjoyment or some material enjoyment to people who are into dharmartha kamas, not pure devotees, unalloyed devotees. Then although Vritrasur was inspiring Indra in so many ways to release that thunderbolt, Indra was not throwing that thunderbolt only. So Vritrasur felt that I am wasting time with this fellow. I am wasting time with this Indra. So let me just turn my attention towards the Supreme Lord and offer my prayers to the Lord. So Vritrasur offered these four exalted prayers. Sloka number 24 to 27 in the 11th chapter. Very beautiful prayers. He says,
Aham hare tava padaika moola dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuyaham manahasmareta supater gunam ste grinitava karma karotu kayaham. Aham hare tava padaika moola.
Here Vritrasur is saying that, O Lord, I want to become dasanudasa of your lotus feet. Dasa means servant. Dasanudasa means servant of servant. So Vritrasur's aspiration, Vritra Asura, Asura means a demon. So this devotee demons, Vritrasur was a godly demon here. So this demon's aspiration is to become a servant of the servant of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, of Supreme Lord Hari.
Aham harer tava padaika mola dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuyaha.
Such a beautiful prayer. And he says, manaha smareta asupater gunamste. Manahasmareta means within my mind I will remember what? Gunam. Gunam means the qualities of my master. Asupate means the Lord of my life. Within my mind I want to remember the qualities of the Lord of my life, Hari.
Grinita vak karma karotu kayaha.
So I will engage my power of speech, I will engage my senses and I will engage my mind completely in the service of the Lord. So Vritrasur is saying that I want to become servant of the servant of your lotus feet and I want to dedicate my body, mind and words in your service. That's the first prayer that Vritrasur offered even on the battlefield while fighting with Indra. So although he is a demon, apparently he was exhibiting divine qualities. The second shloka he says that
Nanaka prishtam nachapa rameshtyam na sarvabhaumam narasadhipatyam na yoga siddher apunar bhavamva samanjasatva virahaya kankshe nanaka prishtam nacha parameshtyam.
O Lord, I don't want heavenly planets, I don't want parameshtyam, means I don't want the position of Brahma also, na sarvabhaumam, I don't want sovereignty of the entire bhumandala, na rasadhipatyam, I don't want even the lower planetary systems. Rasadhipatyam means some adhipatya, some authority over the lower planets like Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Talatala, Patala. There are seven lower planetary systems we discussed in the universe structure class. So I don't want that also. So he rejected any position in all the three worlds.
అప్పర్ ప్లానెట్స్, మిడిల్ ప్లానెట్స్ అండ్ లోవర్ ప్లానెట్స్. సో ననాక పృష్టం నచపారమేష్టం నసార్వభౌమం నరసాధిపత్యం న యోగ సిద్ధేర్, ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీ యోగ సిద్ధీస్, ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీ మిస్టిక్ పవర్స్. అపునర్భవం వా, ఐ డోంట్ ఈవెన్ వాంట్ లిబరేషన్ ఆల్సో. వాట్ డూ ఐ వాంట్? సమంజసత్వ విరహయ్యకాంక్షి, ఐ జస్ట్ వాంట్ యువర్ మెర్సీ మై డియర్ లార్డ్. సో వృత్రాసుర్ డస్ నాట్ వాంట్ ఎనీ పొజిషన్ వాట్స్ ఎవర్ ఇన్ ద ఎంటైర్ కాస్మిక్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్. నో మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్, ఓన్లీ స్పిరిచువల్ డిజైర్. నెక్స్ట్ నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక హీ సేస్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ, అజాతపత్ర అజాతపక్ష ఇవ మాతరం ఖగాః స్తన్యం యథావత్ సరతః క్షుదార్తాః ప్రియం ప్రియేవ వ్యుషితం విషన్న మనోరవిందాక్షదిదృక్షతే త్వాం. అజాతపక్ష ఇవ మాతరం ఖగాః. పక్ష, అజాతపక్ష మీన్స్ baby birds who have not yet developed their wings, just as baby birds just constantly look for the mother's attention. Mother bird would go to different places and get some grains and get some food in its beak and come to the nest and feed the baby birds. The baby birds will just have to open their mouth and the mother bird will put all the grains and food in the bird's mouth. So just as a baby bird is completely dependent on the mother bird, I am completely dependent on Krishna's mercy. That's what Vritrasura says. So a devotee's dependence on the Supreme Lord is like a baby bird's dependence on mother bird. So there is first comparison that he has given. Then Vritrasura thought, baby bird is not doing any endeavor. All endeavor is done by mother bird only. Baby bird is just sitting in the nest and mother is getting food. So I should do some endeavor to approach the Lord. I should actually approach the Lord. Baby bird is not approaching mother bird. Baby bird is sitting in the nest only. So our Vritrasur gave another comparison of his devotion to the Lord. He says that stanyam yatha vatsarataha kshudarthaha. Vatsa means a calf. When a calf becomes hungry, calf would run towards mother cow and drink the milk. Baby bird does not run towards towards mother bird. Baby bird, because it doesn't have wings, it will just sit there in the nest only. But a calf would run very enthusiastically, very eagerly towards the mother cow and drink milk. So calf had developed legs and it can run. So similarly, I should run very enthusiastically and eagerly towards the mercy of the Supreme Lord, towards the lotus feet of the Lord. So Vritrasura said like this. Then Vritrasura again thought, this baby bird and calf both are not doing any service to mothers. So my dependence on the Lord, my devotion towards the Lord should not be like that. Then he gave another comparison. He says, priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna. Just as a wife constantly endeavors to render service to the husband, in that way I have to render service to my Lord. So, baby bird is totally dependent on mother, no endeavor from bird's side to approach mother. Calf is showing some endeavor to approach mother, but there is no service there. But a wife does lot of service to the husband. So similarly, Vritrasura was thinking that I should be rendering so much service to you. So manoravindaksha didukshatitvam. Oh Lord, I want to take your darshan and I want to actually practically render some service to you. So it's not only being dependent on the Lord, it is also offering devotional service to the Lord. That's what is Vritrasura's aspiration. But Vritrasura thought that how can I aspire for devotee association? How can I aspire for direct service to the Lord? I am so fallen in this material existence. So he offers the last prayer thinking like this. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre bhramata swakarma bhi tvanmaya yatmatma jadarageha shvasakta chittasya nanatha bhuyat. He says that Mamottama shloka janeshu sakhyam. Oh Lord, I just want the association of your devotees. Uttama shloka jana. Uttama shloka is the Lord. Jana means the Lord's people. That is devotees. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakhyam. I do not aspire for direct service to the Lord. As I said in the previous verse, he is also thinking and evolving in his prayers. At the end he says, I just want to be in the guidance and association of your devotees. Samsara chakre bhramatah svakarma bhi. I may be wandering in this samsara chakra, the ocean of material existence, because of my own karma. Satvan mayaya atma, atmaja, apta, dara, geha. So many paraphernalia is there. Means there are wives and children and house and household paraphernalia, relatives. So many things are there for a conditioned soul to get distracted. So although I may be doing this Brahmanda Brahman, or wandering in this material existence, may I have the fortune of associating with your devotees. That's the final prayer that he offers. So these are the four prayers offered by our Vritrasur on the battlefield while fighting with Indra. So even after offering these prayers also, Indra was silently sitting there on the battlefield, not throwing his thunderbolt. So Vritrasur initially chastised Indra to inspire Indra to throw the thunderbolt. And Vritrasur later offered prayers to the Lord, and Indra was still sitting there. So Vritrasur thought that, let me just attack him, then he will be inspired to fight with me. So Vritrasur attacked Indra with a trident. Then Indra just cut the trident and cut one of the arms of Vritrasur. Vritrasur's arm was so strong, like Vasuki serpent, but that hand was cut by Indra. Then Vritrasura struck Indra on the jaw and Airavat with his iron mace. So at that point, because Vritrasura struck Indra back, Indra dropped the thunderbolt. So the thunderbolt in the hand of Indra just fell down. So Indra felt so bad. Indra felt so ashamed to pick it up. For a Kshatriya to drop a weapon is a great insult. That too on the battlefield. So because of the strength of Vritrasura, Indra just dropped the thunderbolt. He could not even hold the thunderbolt. So Indra was feeling so ashamed and embarrassed that he was not picking up the thunderbolt. Then he was practically defeated. To drop a weapon on the battlefield is considered almost like a defeat only. But Indra was overwhelmed with this pain, and then he was not picking up the thunderbolt. So Vritrasura encouraged Indra to fight. Now, earlier, Indra was not releasing the thunderbolt because he was thinking that thunderbolt might be rendered useless by Vritrasura, because he rendered my club also useless. So in that way, Indra did not show much faith on the Lord's words in one sense. But Vritrasura had a lot of faith. And now when Indra dropped the thunderbolt, he was not picking up the thunderbolt. And because he was considering himself as a Kshatriya, himself as a warrior, he is considering himself the doer. How can I pick it up? It's like a sense of prestige for me. How can I pick up a weapon which I dropped? So one should not be thinking in terms of one's own prestige or one's own greatness and one's own position. One should be thinking oneself as servant of the Lord. Here Indra was supposed to fight with Vritrasura according to the instruction of Lord Vishnu. And Indra was supposed to occupy the position of the king of heaven and administer and rule the world, rule the world with responsibility. So that is his service. So while doing this service, sometimes there could be some insult or some embarrassment. Indra is supposed to accept all of them. But Indra was not picking up this thunderbolt. He was thinking in terms of himself, in terms of the doer. But Vritrasura was totally focused. Vritrasura was born from the sacrificial fire of Tvashta, and as soon as he was born, he came on the battlefield to fight with the demigods, and demigods took a while and then came back with the thunderbolt, and Vritrasura was fighting. So the only ecstasy in Vritrasura's life was the thunderbolt in the hands of Indra. So Vritrasura was living and maintaining his life and fighting only to be killed by that thunderbolt in the hand of Indra. Otherwise, there is no agenda in Vritrasura's life. So Vritrasura had some demonic associates. So many demons came on the side of Ritrasura to fight with the demons, fight with the demigods, all the demons ran away. So there is no one fighting on Ritrasura's side. Ritrasura was alone fighting on his side. So all the demons were not on his side, and all the demigods were against Ritrasura to kill him, no doubt about it. Indra was against Ritrasura, and all the sages also were praying that Ritrasura should die as early as possible. Practically almost everyone in the entire universe did not understand the glorious position of Ritrasura. They practically did not understand what's there in this personality. Why is he fighting? And even if he becomes victorious in this fight also, what will he do with that victory? So Ritrasura was not fighting for the for victory or defeat. Ritrasura was fighting because it is his duty. And it's ordained that Ritrasura has to be killed by the thunderbolt in the hands of Indra. And that is his only ecstasy in life. And that is the instruction of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And Ritrasura had full faith in the instruction of Vishnu. Just as Dadhichi did not feel bad, he was not disappointed that Vishnu has made a plan to take away Dadhichi's body. That means to kill Dadhichi in one sense. And here the Supreme Lord Vishnu personally has made a plan to kill Ritrasura also. But Ritrasura was not feeling bad that, oh, I am a devotee of Vishnu, but Vishnu himself has made a plan to kill me. He was not thinking like that. He knows Vishnu is my supreme well-wisher and he has made a plan to kill me. Means that must be really beneficial for me and he will take me back into his loving association. So I have to fight somehow. It's my duty. And I have to be killed by the thunderbolt in Indra's hand. And that's my only focus. Ekeha Kurunandanaha. That's my only focus in life. So what all Ritrasura has done in his one lifetime was just to fight in one war, in one battle. In that battle, he was supposed to give up his body through that thunderbolt and go back to Godhead. That's the only activity in Ritrasura's lifetime, which is very brief, very short. So Ritrasura saw Indra not picking up thunderbolt. So Ritrasura has been waiting for Indra to pick up the thunderbolt. Initially he chastised him so that he can release the thunderbolt. Then Ritrasura offered prayers to the Lord. Then later Ritrasura attacked Indra also. But Indra was not releasing the thunderbolt and now he is feeling so embarrassed to pick up the thunderbolt when it fell down. So Ritrasura again gave instructions to Indra. Indra, please understand, accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna. No one is always victorious. Only the Lord is always victorious. All other people are sometimes victorious and sometimes defeated. So in this fight also, sometimes we may be victorious, sometimes we may be defeated. So that does not mean that we stop doing our duties. We should not be thinking that we should always be victorious. Only if there is victory, I will act. No, sometimes there is defeat also. Sometimes there is failure also. Success and failure, both are there. Victory and defeat, both are there. Happiness and distress, both are there in this world. One should not only desire victory or success or happiness. One should also have the ability and maturity to deal with distress and unhappiness and defeat and failures. So our scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam do not just give us success formulas only. So how to become successful in one's life? That's not the only message of our scriptures. The message of our scriptures is how to deal with failures also. So oftentimes failures in this world could be much more than successes also. So we should have the right attitude and ability to deal with both success and failure and not be desirous of only success and become so overconfident and elated and proud in success. And when defeat comes, we should not be so disheartened or discouraged or devastated or depressed or lose all inspiration. That's not the message of Bhagavatam. Ritrasura is saying that only Krishna is always victorious. Vidhur Jayati is always victorious. All other people are sometimes victorious and sometimes defeated. So every living entity is controlled by the Supreme Lord. He is the superintendent. And we are just dancing like puppets in his hands. So even Purushavataras are also under his control. And fools think that body to be the cause of everything. So they are deprived of bodily possessions at the time of death unwillingly. And they remain, you should be remaining equipoised. You are also a devotee of the Lord. So remain equipoised. Don't feel so bad that there is success, there is defeat. So take my example. So Vritrasura is telling Indra, all my demon associates ran away. I am left alone on the battlefield. No, I was fighting with you. My one hand is cut by you. Still I am fighting. So when my hand is cut, did I become depressed? I am still fighting. Please consider this whole war to be a gambling match. In gambling match, sometimes somebody will be victorious, somebody will be defeated, but one should not be depressed. So consider this as a gambling match and do not lament. Pick up that thunderbolt and then fight. So Vritrasura is instructing Indra like this. So Indra smiled. And Indra became so impressed with the devotion and maturity of Vritrasura. He was surprised. You are a demon. And how can you be acting like a perfect devotee? I can see that you are a perfect devotee. You are glorifying the Supreme Lord and expressing your dependence on the Lord and exhibiting a lot of detachment and renunciation and intelligence even on the battlefield. I can see your discrimination and endurance in bhakti. So you attained the position of an exalted devotee, giving up your demoniac mentality. So devotees like you really swim in the nectarian ocean and very happy. We are just happy in some small ditches of material happiness. You are in the ocean of spiritual happiness and joy and ecstasy of loving the Lord. We are in the ditches of some small ditches. So Indra understood the exalted position of Vritrasura. In fact, at one point, Indra was even hesitant to kill Vritrasura also. He's such a perfect devotee. But still, Vritrasura threw his iron club with his left hand, aimed at Indra. And Indra cut that iron club also into pieces and cut the remaining hand of Vritrasura also. Now Vritrasura does not have both hands to fight. So Vritrasura was thinking that how should I fight now? I don't have both hands, but I have a big mouth. So Vritrasura was so huge, he opened his mouth and he swallowed Indra. And he thought fight is over. So I don't have hands to fight. I have a mouth to fight. I swallowed Indra. So means Vritrasura was doing his best to fight with Indra. So when Indra was swallowed by Vritrasura, Vritrasura thought that fight was over and he closed his eyes and he went into a trance meditating on Lord Sankarshan, and Indra was inside the abdomen of Vritrasura. So Indra employed his thunderbolt and his Narayana Kavacha and he pierced through the abdomen of Vritrasura and came out and he started cutting the throat of Vritrasura, and it took one full year for Indra to cut the throat of Vritrasura. So Vritrasura was in deep trance. Vritrasura started meditating on the Supreme Lord even on the battlefield. And after the fight was over, from his side, he closed his eyes and meditated on the Supreme Lord because of his deep samadhi, his full absorption and his huge powerful body. His neck was so stiff that Indra took one full year to cut that throat. And finally, he has killed Vritrasura. Although Vritrasura was killed and Indra became victorious in this fight, the real victory is Vritrasura's. At the end of the fight, Vritrasura attained the spiritual world and Indra attained material heaven. Who is victorious? The person who enters material heaven is great, or the person who attains the spiritual realm, the loving company of the Supreme Lord, is he great? So Vritrasura was defeated externally and he was really victorious on a spiritual plane. So Krishna plans for the upliftment and liberation of his pure devotees, while he may just give some material facilities to some mixed devotees who are not fully pure yet in their consciousness. Although Indra was also a devotee, but he had some inclinations for heavenly enjoyment. So he was not as pure as Vritrasura. So by seeing this, all the demigods and Brahma and Prajapatis and so many people became morose that Indra was swallowed. But finally Indra came out and he has cut the head of Vritrasura. And Gandharvas and Siddhas praised Indra and they started showering flowers on Indra. So then a living spark came from Vritrasura's body and entered the spiritual world. Vritrasura, with his two arms cut, lying on the battlefield, he was looking like a huge mountain, as you can see in that picture. So everybody became so happy. Although everyone became happy, Indra became so morose. You can see in that picture, Indra was lamenting like this while Vritrasura was lying on that body, lying dead there. So when everyone in the universe was celebrating the death of Vritrasura, because Vritrasura apparently presented himself like a demon, his devotional qualities are revealed to Indra on the battlefield. But other people who were only watching this battle from a distance, they did not know the devotional qualities of Vritrasura. So his prayers, they did not hear. Indra has heard. So all the other people were rejoicing the death of Vritrasura while Indra lamented so much. So he lamented for killing a Brahmana. Vritrasura also is kind of Brahmana only, because he was the son of Tvashta. Tvashta was a Brahmana. Although he was acting like a demon fighting, he was the son of a Brahmana. So he killed. And when Vritrasura was killed, everyone was pleased in the three worlds, but Indra was unhappy. So Parikshit Maharaj, who has been hearing this story from Sukadev Goswami, asked Sukadev Goswami why Indra was unhappy. Then Sukadev Goswami revealed the secret. Actually, Indra was not very happy to kill Vritrasura. Vritrasura was a very exalted devotee. Indra was not ready to kill him. When Indra was not ready to kill Vritrasura, some sages encouraged Indra. Indra, please kill this Vritrasura. He is creating a lot of disturbance in this universe. You must kill him. So then Indra was hesitant that I offended my guru, this Brihaspati, and I lost heavenly kingdom. And later I killed another guru, that is Vishwarup. So I again got the sinful reaction. Now this Vritrasura also is acting like my guru on the battlefield, and he was also a son of Brahmana. If I kill this Brahmana now, what will happen? Who will protect me from sinful reaction? How many sinful reactions should I accumulate? So Indra actually became hesitant to kill Vritrasura, but all the sages said, Indra, don't worry. We will perform Ashwamedha Yajna and we will relieve you from all sinful reactions. Don't worry. So you just kill him. So Indra killed him. Indra killed Vritrasura. But actually, to commit a sinful activity on the strength of the holy name is an offense, as we recite in the offenses to holy names. So somebody may commit a mistake unknowingly, accidentally, incidentally, circumstantially. Those mistakes could be forgiven. But if somebody is doing a mistake intentionally, purposefully, with a proper plan, thinking that I can nullify the reactions of this mistake by doing some atonement process, by doing some yajna. So here these people are planning to perform Ashwamedha yajna to relieve Indra from the future reaction that he is going to accumulate by killing this Vritrasura. So he killed Vritrasura knowing well that he is going to get a sinful reaction, and he has a plan to how to get relieved from that sinful reaction. So that kind of planned committing of sinful activity is condemned. So here Vritrasura, that's an offense also. So one has to suffer for such an offense. So Indra, when he killed Vritrasura like this, sin personified. The sinful reaction of Indra took the form of a old woman affected by tuberculosis. And her body was filled with blood, and she was very old and wrinkled, and then she started chasing Indra. So that is the personification of his sinful reaction. When the sinful reaction personified in the form of this old woman affected by tuberculosis was chasing Indra, Indra ran to different places. So her body, her garments were filled with blood, and she was breathing in a very unbearable manner, and that breathing also is emanating a lot of fishy odor and polluted the entire climate there. And Indra ran away to different places, and finally he went to one sarovar, Manas Sarovar, and went inside, deep inside that sarovar, and he hid himself in a lotus stem. You can see in that picture. So in a lotus stem, Indra was hiding to protect himself from that sinful reaction. Basically, to hide like that itself is the experience of pain for him. He is experiencing the sinful reaction already. So in the absence of Indra, a king named Nahusha assumed the throne of Indra. So Indra stayed there for 1,000 years in the fibers of the lotus stem. He was starving without food. Generally, when people perform sacrifices, Agni will take the sacrificial oblations and deliver them to all the demigods, their sacrificial shares. But Indra did not get his share. Not that Agni cannot enter water. Because Agni can enter water also and deliver the share of Varuna inside the water. Because Varuna is the god of oceans. And then he also receives sacrificial share. So Indra, Agni delivers that sacrificial share to Varuna also. But Agni could not deliver any sacrificial share to Indra because of Indra's own sinful activity. So Indra's sinful activity, because he has offended his one guru, or Brihaspati, and he killed another guru, Brahmana, Vishwarupa, and he killed another pure Vaishnava, Vritrasura. So he has to experience. For 1,000 years he was hiding in that on the fibers of the lotus stem. So he was starving, he was emaciated. But eventually, because of his repentance, and also in that Mansarovar, there is Goddess of Fortune. So he was protected by Goddess of Fortune. And also there is this Lord Shiva. By the influence of Lord Shiva, by the blessings of Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi, Indra was slowly, gradually relieved of all the sinful reactions after 1,000 years. Then again, Indra was reinstated back in his position as the heavenly king after 1,000 years of struggle. So in this way, Indra was again, gained back his position as king, and Vritrasura died. And after Vritrasura died, he went back to the spiritual world. So when Vritrasura died, now this whole story of Vritrasura is very powerful. That there is a Phalastuti given by Sukadeva Goswami. One will be relieved of all sinful reactions. One will be able to conquer enemies. And one will get long life by hearing this Vritrasura episode. Anyways, our main focus in hearing all these pastimes is to develop our love for Krishna and to develop your devotional service. And by hearing Vritrasura's episode, we get lot of inspiration and determination and dedication to the path of devotional service. And Vritrasura was an exemplary devotee. Although he was in the body of a demon, he exhibited great devotional qualities even in war. And even Parikshit Maharaj also was surprised to hear the qualities of Vritrasura. So he asked Sukadeva Goswami, "Oh Sukadeva Goswami, how did Vritrasura develop such a great quality, devotional quality?" Actually, amongst all the jivas, millions and millions of jivas, human beings are very few. And amongst those human beings, people who actually follow dharma are very less. And amongst those human beings who follow dharma, like doing so many activities, Vedic karmakandic activities, amongst them, people who desire liberation from the material world, they are even more rare. And even amongst those people who desire liberation, who are actually liberated, Jivan Muktas, they are even more rare. And even amongst the Jivan Muktas, or liberated souls, people who have actually realized and understood the real meaning of liberation, that is service to the Lord, they are also very rare. And even amongst those people who have realized the real meaning of liberation, Narayana Paraha, means those people who have dedicated their lives to Narayana are extremely rare. Muktanam api siddhanam Narayana Parayanaha sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamunehe. Amongst all Muktas and Siddhas, Narayana Paras, exclusively surrendered devotees of Narayana, are extremely rare. And Vritrasura seems to be belonging to that category of Narayanapara. He is an exclusive devotee of the Lord. So how could such a person who is in demoniac body, imbued with passion and ignorance, that too on the battlefield, offer such exemplary prayers to the Lord? How could he have such a devotional attitude? So Parikshit Maharaj was so surprised to see the divine qualities of Vritrasura on the battlefield. So he asked Sukadeva Goswami like this, and Sukadeva Goswami reveals the story of Vritrasura. In the past life of Vritrasura, Vritrasura was a king named Chitraketu, and that Chitraketu was a great devotee of Lord Sankarsana, and he was a disciple of Narada Muni, and somehow by one curse he became a demon named Vritrasura. And in this brief lifetime as Vritrasura, just by engaging in one fight, one war with Indra, Vritrasura was killed and he went back to Godhead. So he had to experience this one small demon's life because of one curse, and because he has to be purified of certain personality traits that he had, and then finally become eligible to go back to Godhead. So the whole previous life, the past life of Vritrasura as Chitraketu, we will see in the next episode. So today we have discussed how Indra killed Vritrasura, and although Indra killed Vritrasura, it is Vritrasura who became victorious by going to spiritual world, but Indra just remained in this material heaven only. So Vritrasura's glorious devotional service and his devotional qualities are a great source of inspiration and nourishment for all the devotees, and his prayers are so exemplary, giving us a lot of inspiration and determination in our bhakti. So let us take inspiration from Vritrasura and traverse on the path of devotional service nicely. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.